Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rebecca, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the year-long kickoff on Sunday. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Jen.
This is truly one of those topics where it's, where in the world do you begin? Huh?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sitting here thinking, where in the world are we ever going to end, at 5 o'clock, at the top of the hour, because
exactly.
There's just so much to say. So shall I...
Do you want to ask me a prompt or shall I just jump?
Because, the year-long focus and the kickoff in particular was so, just genius. And it was one of those things where you like, oh, it's so obvious and so profound at the same time.
Yeah.
And the theme was, it was being. So here is the question. What do you do? What do you do? That question
that we
all get. You
go to a cocktail party and someone asks you, so what do you do? Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's so deeply it so deeply penetrates everything. Well, what did you do over the holiday? What do you want to do with your life? What are you doing? It's just everywhere,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. what the question was for us to explore is, what effect does that question have on us? As awareness practitioners, and what I saw was that it immediately puts me into this little box of, as a Zen student, or as a woman, or as a mom, mm-hmm. or as a citizen, or as a what,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it divides things up in the way of, then I've got to be this here and that there, and, just all kinds of confusion and suffering that can happen in that place of that box,
mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
what we were encouraged to look at was, what if the question was, how do you want to be? How are you, in the sense of how do you want to be? And when that, in your role as mom, in your role as citizen, in your mm-hmm. role as whatever, and for me, that just dissolved the box, and I got to really have that whoosh of possibility. Again, as I'm saying it just seems so obvious, but it always does when you see it and not before.
exactly. And that's what makes it such a brilliant theme, because basically what you're describing is, so what do? Takes us right to conditioned mind. And there's confusion and there's, right, but how do I want to be? There's clarity. There's clarity there. And so then it shifts everything, that everything becomes that orientation. And kind of the theme that we talked about is, okay, so your job is awareness practitioner, right? And that
full-time.
That full-time. And it's so brilliant, because then everything I, quote, do, mom, citizen, awareness practitioner, it's all within that realm of, it's part of my awareness practice. It's what I use to practice awareness.
Exactly. And that's what dropped mm-hmm. in for me today as I was, really just sitting with the whole experience, is that, let's see how to say this, it is the one rule writ large and deep and broad everywhere, because we have said for as long as I've been involved with this practice, and I guess since Sherry has, that we will use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. That's the one and only rule we have in this practice. And so if that means that in my role as a consumer, when I'm shopping for toothbrushes, then I'm going to see how that causes me to suffer so I can drop it and suffer. If I'm homeschooling my kids, I'm going to see how that causes me to suffer so I can drop it and end suffering. When I'm just sitting around wondering what I'm going to do with my evening, I'm going to see how that causes, it's like everything.
Yeah.
Every
and it
place.
Does, right?
Yes.
Homeschooling my kids, okay, that causes suffering. We can see that, right? But picking out a toothbrush, come on.
Yeah.
But when our job is awareness practice, and that we keep that at the forefront of our mind, we start to see the processes of suffering everywhere. They're everywhere.
Oh, it so is. And if it's not in that moment, it's when you read an article that, oh, there's 10 tons of plastic in there, then that's from toothbrushes. You know, it's like, then it's like,
that's
oh,
right.
And it kicks you in the gut, you know, because of that,
yeah.
or whatever, you know. And so we want to bring awareness to every moment, and not only to avoid the kick in the gut, but because that's the most joyful way to live. That is the joyful way to live. Yeah.
Truly. And you know what's so amazing about what Sherry and Ashwini were laying out in terms of that process that you're talking about, and then the components that are going to make up the year long, is that, you know, for the last couple of years, we've been walking through this process of looking at, okay, what are the components that create that suffering, right? Okay, what are the voices? Mm-hmm. What are the beliefs? What are the assumptions? How does that all go together? You know, all of that. And that it feels like this theme that's being laid out is really following on that. As I was looking at it, one analogy that dropped in was, so I'm in medical school, right? And so I'm taking tests and I'm learning things and I'm in the lab and I'm doing things. And now it's time for residency, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm a doctor now. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm not just a student reading books. But mm-hmm. I'm going and I'm having the real experience. And that's what it sounds like we're going to have the support for this year, is to go out there and have that day to day, you know, apply it to my life, all those things kind of practice and get to be supported in that process.
Well, yes, absolutely. Because, you know, the title of the year long is Being the Change Step by Step. If that's not, it's pretty close to that, if that's not it exactly.
Right.
But it's the step by step that you just articulated so clearly. And that, you know, because I was just looking at, okay, if I want to bring every moment of my life to practice, into awareness practice, that's my full-time job, my full-time vocation, how do I do that? And what just kind of rang through my head was,
I
have no idea.
Exactly.
But that we, like you said, from the year-long retreats in the past, we've had a step-by-step process.
Yep.
And that's what we're going to be led through once again.
That's right.
Is that step-by-step.
Exactly.
And it was so relaxing just to say, well, I'll trust the process. I'll show up.
Oh,
I'll let myself
too.
Be led and trust the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And something you just said reminded me of something that Ashwini was saying in particular, I think, on Sunday, was that part of the design of it is, okay, that sounds great. I mean, you know, right? We that sounds so great. I want that. And then as you say, how do I do that? I have no idea. Okay, that's all right. We're going to be supported through a process. And what we can know is conditioning is going to go crazy and throw every resistance, you know, process it's got up its sleeve at us, and that part of this process is going to be, okay, that's fine, and how do we get supported through that, and how do we get supported through that, and how do we get supported through that?
Yeah, I'm just getting the image of you talk as you talk of the buckle your seatbelt and show up. That's really what it's about, and we're all in this together. And it's
and
a good time in the world for a buckle your seatbelt and show up. We're all in this together, right? And you know,
it's so,
the thing,
it's so real.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, say more.
Just exactly what you were saying. Like, given what's going on in the world, it's so real to really get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. It's very timely. It's very practical, and you know, too, in that way. Well, and then I was just going to mention that it's so practice is just like holding the door wide open for everybody and anybody who wants to join in. You know, the year-long retreat the registration is still open for another couple of days until Thursday. And even if you're not sure you want to do the year-long retreat, the email class that starts on Friday is available, you know, like kind of an a la carte option. So that one is being, you know, that's being the change, the first step, You know, so here's the first step that we can take together through this 3-week email class. And then, like you said, then there's going to be a virtual retreat, and then there's going to be the daily radio shows that we come to know and love. And so it really is a whole process that is laid out for us to guide us lovingly and gently and courageously through this whole process that we're talking about.
And just to underline that point you just made, that the email class, which for anyone who hasn't done the email class, I mean, it's a unique way to practice with other folks. It's just extraordinary on so many levels. But as you say, that doesn't have to be attached to the year-long retreat. One could, you know, do the email class just as its own thing, and that it really is going to be that process of walking us through, okay, so if we were approaching our lives from that place of how do I want to be, what is that going to look like in my life in particular, which I think is a really helpful component of it, right? Not in theory, not, again, kind of back to the medical school, not like, well, you know, someone might, actually in my life, how it actually shows up for me to make a difference in my moment by moment, day by day life. So I'm really excited for the email class for that reason.
Oh, me too. Jen, I'm just so excited for the transformation that not only will come from, like, you know, on December 31st, 2021, what will we be saying, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. That's a moment.
Because I can already feel the air of the possibility and the joy. I can feel it already in the kickoff. And then to live into that in a deeper and deeper way is such a precious opportunity. So that's really why I wanted to mention that the door's wide open, you know, for folks to come in. Just if you just want to do the email class and kind of whet your appetite, and then see if you want to do the retreat or all of that, you know, or the 2-week virtual retreat. But the time is now, you know, because we are jumping on on Friday. It starts the registration, I think, ends on Thursday. So, it's such a wonderful opportunity. But,
Well, and speaking of that, Rebecca, thank you for being with us to talk about it this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care and good night.
Good night.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Rebecca. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael. As Rebecca says, we can feel the joy and feel the whatever it is, the anticipation, I suppose, as we kick off the new year.
Yes, it's fabulous.
Yeah, it is.
And it's great to be starting right away. I didn't have too long of a withdrawal from the daily radio shows.
I know. Yeah. It's a different set. You know, we've always started the year long in March. And we've always had an email class in February, but it just felt like this particular topic lent itself to an exploration on many, many levels. And so the first part is the first step, and then the second part is the second step, and then there's the third step. So the year-long is now a 3-step process and not just, you know, starting off in March. So we hope everyone will join us.
Wonderful. And shall I review the announcements to go through those again?
I think so, Michael, because I think there's so much confusion out there about what's the year-long and what's the email class. And so perhaps a reiteration would be helpful. And then I'll say it one more time so that we all are clear about where we're going from here.
Got it. And I think I understand that signing up for the year-long retreat includes the email class and the virtual retreat. Is that correct?
So when you sign up for the year-long retreat, you're signing up for the 3-week email class, the 2-week virtual retreat, and then from March to December, the daily radio shows.
Yes.
And the reason we did that is because the year-long retreat consists of all of those components.
Yes.
And so there's a single price if you sign up now for the entire thing. Now, many people in Sangha may not want to do the year-long retreat, or they may want to do it as a step-by-step process and sign up step-by-step. So,
yes.
So you saw a theme in class, and then you decide you want to take the exploration for this, then you sign up to your 2-week retreat. And then if you want to join us for the radio shows, then you can decide to do that. It's just priced differently if you don't sign up for the a la carte option versus the package option, if you will.
Yes, yes. Okay, good. Great. So let me read the announcement.
And I think it's important that people do all of the steps because if you want to join us for for the radio shows and you haven't done the email class, hello?
Ashwini? Oh, there you are. There you are. Oh, can you hear me now, Ashwini?
I can. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. So the last thing I heard you say is that if someone comes to the daily radio show and they haven't done the earlier steps,
they might be at a disadvantage. It's because the year long is designed in a particular way.
Yes.
So we would encourage you to do everything, whether you sign up a la carte or whether you sign up for the whole package.
Yes. Yes. Okay, great. So let me read the announcement here, Ashwini, and I think that will repeat what we have just said, which is important.
Yes.
The year-long retreat, Being the Change, Step by Step, will support us in applying the insights we gained last year through identifying the causes of suffering to the process of ending suffering. The retreat starts this week with an email class, followed by a 2-week virtual retreat, and then our familiar structure of daily assignments and a weekday radio show. A quarterly payment plan is being offered. Registration closes this Thursday, January 14th at 12 noon Pacific time. The email class, Being the Change, the first step, which is the first component of the year-long retreat, is open to those who don't want to sign up for the year-long retreat, but wish to explore the practical steps to end suffering and get here. The class starts this Friday, January 15th, and registration closes on Thursday at 12 noon Pacific time. And a partial schedule. Oh, go ahead, Ashwini.
Well, just that if you've already signed up for the year-long, don't sign up again for the email class. If you want to do the email class, it's still possible to do it standalone, even if you're not yet ready to commit to the year-long. So it's an independent offering as well.
Yes, yes, got it. Great.
Seems to be the bottom line.
Right. So you can sign up for the year-long retreat and get all three at once, or you can sign up a la carte for each of the three.
Yes.
Okay. And a partial schedule for 2021 practice opportunities is available at livingcompassion.org/schedule. And if you'd like to talk with Ashwini today, you can press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a reminder to please keep your conversation focused on one topic and about 5 minutes in length. Okay, I think we are ready here, Ashwini.
Wonderful.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini. It's Todd calling from Kelowna.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hi. Hey. Well, I'm really excited about the year-long retreat. I went for the full meal deal, so I signed up for the whole thing just the other day. And I've been looking at, we were asked, I don't think this is giving anything away, but on the kickoff,
mm-hmm.
we were asked to look at a series of words or phrase that kind of summarized last year's, maybe our transformation through the year-long retreat. And what came up for me was following life's guidance,
mm-hmm.
and that's what I'm seeing as practice offerings arise, is life's guidance has been. Not that there isn't resistance on every level, and I don't feel like it at every turn, but life's guidance is go for it, participate. And the transformation is, that's what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just showing up for them all, basically.
Yeah. Well, what I hear you say, right, Todd, is showing up for life, right? I mean, it shows up in a particular form, but we're so used to listening to a voice in our head tell us what to do that it seems quite extraordinary that we listen to something else. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And it's almost foreign. Yeah.
Yeah, but what you're describing is how we would live if we didn't have a voice in our head telling us what to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. I didn't really see it articulated
because
that way.
Because what you're doing is living.
Yes.
Right? Being. Living, being, participating in your life. So really the life guidance is, Todd, live your life. Live what's meaningful for you. Right?
Yeah.
And be with the people who mirror who you are authentically. Be on a path that allows you to live that to the fullest extent possible. And you're just saying, yes, that's who I am. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. And being allowed to have that experience, right? Because your entire training isn't about, well, Todd, why aren't you riding a bike for 350 miles and getting to the other side of the coast or whatever it says that you should be doing differently.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this. What would I be doing instead?
Yes. Yes. Oh, that just reminds me of a discussion with Sherry when we're looking at, they all mesh together, but it was a part of a year-long retreat, and I was looking at all the suffering around purchasing organic vegetables, which are quite expensive where I am. And she said, well, what else are you going to spend your money on? And it shocked me until you're right. Why wouldn't I be putting the most nutritious, available, stewarding the planet produce available to this being that I'm worth it? And same with practice, right? Why wouldn't I participate in practice offerings that have given me a life that I never thought was possible before practice?
Exactly. Because the question she really asked, right, Todd, is who would be worth it? What would be worth more than feeding life the best that life grows?
Oh, see, again, that perspective is so much larger. Right. That's what she was pointing to, yes. Yes.
So if everything in life is life and everything is precious and that fabulous yellow organic bell pepper is the best thing that life can produce, why not offer it to life so that life can enjoy it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned bell peppers because they tend to be the most expensive of all the
organic. I think we had a discussion about the yellow bell pepper.
That's why you remember it. Yeah, they're like $5. And you know, they're like, you know, $5 each. And, you know, a conventional pepper that grown with chemicals in a greenhouse are like 50 cents each, you know.
Right.
But well, God knows.
And there you can tell the value that conditioning puts on life, right?
Right.
Let's feed life the worst of our, that shows how the negation happens, right?
Yeah.
And that assumption of scarcity, right? That there isn't enough, and therefore I have to do the 50-cent bell pepper but that orientation entirely comes from that ego perspective of abundance is not the life experience because ego is separate. But if I'm coming from a life perspective, my only experience is abundance. Oh my gosh, there's so many fabulously beautiful yellow bell peppers around, and tomatoes and trees and whales and everything, right? Diversity is what life is all about. And it's not about whether you can afford it or not, right? Which is the question that conditioning asks because it comes from scarcity.
Yes. Yes.
You just have a different orientation when you come from life.
Yeah. It's so funny you say that, too, because as soon as the year-long retreat was offered and I went to sign up, and they did offer the quarterly payments, which I appreciate. It's just a little easier to spread it out. But that's the first thing I heard is, can you afford this? And I absolutely can. But even it just questioning it to make me ponder that, are you worth spending that type of money on it?
I'm so glad you said that, right, Todd, because that's the direct translation of the question. It's not, can you afford it or not, or are you worth it or not?
Yeah.
Right? That's the underlying, the self-hating message that's coded into that question.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes. And just so grateful and appreciative of all the practice that I have under my belt, that I don't listen to that voice that has in the past, not as often, I can report, but it has in the past talked me out of practice opportunities based on finances, which are never accurate. I've always been able to afford practice. And if I wasn't able to afford practice, I know I could work something out because you've always offered that.
Yeah, precisely.
You know?
Todd, it's what Rebecca was talking about, possibility, right? As soon as the box is as soon as the question becomes the right question, a question to life rather than conditioned mind, there are no problems.
Yes. Oh, I love that. Question to life, yeah. Yeah.
So is it worth it to give life everything that life life wants? I mean, life, what life feels like doing and participating? The answer would be obviously yes, right? Because if not, is life worth it? You would never ask that question if you were coming from a life perspective. And
would
so,
never.
Well, I actually don't have the money to do that. Okay,
yeah.
How do we make that possible? Let's start the practice and work out something, because there will always be a way to support what life wants.
Yes. Always. Always has been. Yeah. I've always had that experience. Life always has options and possibilities when I don't look to condition mind for answers.
Yeah. And it may not always look the way we want it to look.
True. That's
right?
So true. Yeah. That's very true. Very true. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you again. I'm just deeply grateful for Sangha and you and Sherry and the monastery and the monks and everyone that makes this possible, because without all of us, we wouldn't be able to be a part of it.
Precisely, without all of us, right? So
thank
you, Todd.
Thank you, Yashrin. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Ashwini, I really appreciate that questioning of what is so, and this knee-jerk reaction in my mind. Is that really sort of a true and accurate response, or where is that coming from?
Yeah. I think that is what everyone is finding so powerful about the kickoff, is the question, the simplicity of asking the question the right way, right?
Fabulous. And we have another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, this is Sandy in Berkeley.
Hey, Sandy.
Oh, hi, Sandy.
Hey. I'm also calling about something that came up in the kickoff call. I shared in the call about this process kind of basically just kind of like fantasy, like, I'm going to do this awesome thing in my life, and then these awesome things are going to result from.
Michael, is Sandy blipping out for you?
Yes, a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
You went away a little bit for a sec there. You want to try
I can
again,
try
Sandy?
Different. Let me try a different technology here. One second. Is this any better?
Yeah, well, it always is when you ask that question, but let's see how it goes. Go ahead.
Right. No promises about seconds from now. So, so basically talking about a processes about how to make life better and kind of, you know, the other side of duality is like, if now is not okay, it's kind of dreary. And Sherry said, like, you know, she used the phrase sort of like being the hero of your own life, or the sense of kind of the magic of what is possible now. And I think there's a way in which I kind of do the practice things, and I report and listen and attend to the moment and et cetera. I don't think the magic of life is being fully
out. So let me see if I'm tracking what you're saying. That the process you're describing is... Michael, I don't know if you can't hear her also, but
I think
Sanam
there's
is getting
something
every
happening
word.
Of like...
Sandy, I'm getting most of what you're saying, but not everything. Ashwini, I don't know if we could ask Sandy to call back in on a phone line, perhaps?
There's time.
And try again?
Okay, can you try again, Sandy? We'll watch out for you on the queue. Okay.
Yeah. Or if you were calling on the internet, you could try on a cell phone or vice versa.
Oh, yeah, sure. Try that.
Okay. Well, I'll look for you, Sandy.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you. All right, Ashwini. So let me go on to the next one here, and I will look for Sandy in the queue.
Sounds good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Ashwini.
Oh, and we're having...
I'm probably going to...
We're having trouble there, too. You want to try that again, our next caller? I cannot hear you. Ashwini, can you hear?
No, I cannot hear whoever that is.
Okay. Oh, I heard a cough there. Caller, are
Hello?
You there? Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how I thought I must have...
Oh.
Sorry, this is Zoe from New Jersey.
Hey, Zoe.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm glad we can hear you.
Yeah, sorry about that. I was just kind of calling to follow up on our last conversation, actually. several things were kind of coming up about it, and... I just wanted to also connect and participate as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is one of the things we talked about, right, Zoe, which is really the thing that assisted you is to show up. Because the voices mm-hmm. are trying to get you to quit. That as long as you show up and realize that I want my attention on the showing up, not on what the voices are saying, something is going to be revealed to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And one of the things that was dropping in like just before that I was unmuted was that sometimes the words kind of lose their meaning, and getting like the words that get used often, like all of a sudden it's just sounds, and I don't have access to what the sounds are pointing to, like getting present, and mm-hmm. you know that word presence, and you know just I think there was like some hypnotizing around that. And just realize, like, I had a practice tip come in of, you know, feeling what your hand feels like or listening to the sounds in the room. And, you know, just those really, really basic cues to get present. And that was really helpful to remember you know, how to practice, because that was like, mm-hmm. that was what we were talking about, was getting feeling really stuck in not knowing, like, quote, I don't know how to practice.
Yeah. Well, I think what you're pointing to, Joy, is so fascinating. I remember someone said it once in group, and it's going to not translate well because we can't see each other, right? Because Sherry would always mm-hmm. say, let's get here, and her hand would move in front of her stomach, right, at the hara, be present. And the person basically said, I was getting here, but her hand would be at her head level, right? The getting here becomes a mental process, not an actual mm-hmm. attention on awareness process. And so that's what happens to us, right? That ego can take words like presence, and if they become an idea, and if you're referencing them as a mental process, you don't feel present.
Right.
You just go, this isn't working because presence itself loses its meaning because it doesn't have, it isn't what it is in the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, mm-hmm. having those concrete cues that says touch your hand or feel your hand on your face, that actually redirects the attention to experience rather than a mental concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess, I don't know. There's a lot of different things.
It's ironically religious, right, Zoe, that you get a practice tip.
Say it again?
That it makes me religious, right? So you're in that mental confusion of not knowing what to do, and the universe presents you with a concrete teaching on how to do it.
So I was going to say I could go on and on. I have, like, so much to say, but I know you're looking for the other caller, so maybe I should just say goodbye and just kind of keep practicing with it and,
staying in touch.
You know, yeah, staying in touch, because the one thing that I was going to do right before the call was I noticed feeling dissatisfied, and so I was like, okay, well, let me just really be with this dissatisfaction and just really, really understand it and, like, experience it and get to know it. And then I made a salad instead, and so whatever, you know.
Well, let's just hang on with that. So say a little bit more about that, right? Because there's a way in which, so did you decide to be with the dissatisfaction and you made a salad instead and you were satisfied, or what happened? That's a cliff edge kind of, you know, you can't leave us with that and just say goodbye, though.
Well, so that's so funny, because what I'm seeing about that is, see, I believe that was a practice failure, because in that moment I was aware of the dissatisfaction and I was thinking, oh, like this would be a good time to, like, sit, you know, and just really sit and be with it and observe it. And then, I think I've spent kind of the rest of the day in dissatisfaction, actually. And, you know, I still have a lingering, like, feeling of dissatisfaction, which has been with me all day, really. I was just noticing it in that moment. And, you know, I don't feel dissatisfied at this very moment, like at this instance.
Yes. Because all your attention is on this conversation, right?
Yeah.
So
that's
the thing. So to me, a couple of things about that, and you'll just play with it and see how you see what you see about it, right? So the moment I'm aware of dissatisfaction, I can't be dissatisfied. I am aware, right? It doesn't feel like that because the mental narrative is I should be looking at dissatisfaction. But the moment I'm aware of it, saying, okay, well, I should be looking at dissatisfaction, I'm not really dissatisfied. And so there's a way in which the attention's already been redirected. Now, it may not stay there. It might go back to what's feeling dissatisfied. But if you picked up the recorder and talked at that moment, or at least you actually sat and attempted to redirect the attention, then it's just staying with the awareness rather than going with the dissatisfaction. But you did do that, right? You said, oh, I don't want to sit there with dissatisfaction. I want to be present. So let me fully engage in a salad. in making a salad, right? Or let me call into the radio show, because as soon as I redirect my attention and give all of my attention to what is to how I want to be, a la our year long focus, rather than which is not dissatisfied and completely here, then it's my experience. So the learning is, as soon as I'm aware of my dissatisfaction, I choose something else. I redirect the attention. Now, conditioning might say, oh, you know, the right spiritual thing to do is to sit with that dissatisfaction, and you go, okay, well, I'm going to sit with that. Well, let me pick up the recorder and see it, you know, whatever you want to do. But not have ego determine what your spiritual practice is going to be.
Yeah. Well, see, usually that's the point in which I want to pick up a drink is at that moment, because that is a way, and immediately the dissatisfaction, not immediately, but it pretty much goes away. Once I start using substances, it's gone. And I said, well, of course, you know, that's another reason why, you know, it's so alluring and why I'm in such a tangle with it for so many years at this point is because it's just an automatic, easy way out of feeling dissatisified
except to destroy you on the other level, right?
It's not the best solution.
I don't know. Sherry often says it, right? That part of what she suspect the reason she suspects she shot herself was to escape the torture of the voices, right?
We're always
looking not to be imprisoned by our own conditioning. And so the substance numbs us out for a little while, because then we're, oh my God, I'm not being subject to that incessantly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in that hard process of attempting to ignore it or have a different experience or any of those things. But at some point, you realize that if you keep using the substance, then you can never be free of the substance, right? That's why you come to the awareness practice, which is no matter how hard it's going to be to stay here not using the substance and not giving into the conditioning, I am ready to die on the cross multiple times and go through whatever dark nights of the soul, because the other way is no longer something that is going to work. Right? I mean, you've been part of this practice for a really long time, and you've watched how you come to it and leave and come to it and leave, but ultimately you don't leave. The thing that's keeping you knows the truth that what you really want is to be free of the conditioning in a way that's helpful to you.
Yeah, not just a temporarily quieting. It's the only way. Yeah, it's the way through.
And it's painful. And we just learn to be with that, right? The challenge, the difficulty, the discomfort, the escalating torture, because even if we fall off the wagon, literally and metaphorically speaking, whether it's practice or a substance, right? We realize, okay, it was temporarily fine, and I have to face the consequences of that happening. But there's such a level of compassion with which I come back, right? Because, gosh, if it's so bad and it's so awful in the prison of my mind, no wonder I want to eliminate it or eliminate myself, because I can't stand it anymore. And so what drives me to those coping behaviors, you know, you can understand. But here's my next opportunity not to give into it for maybe a little bit longer, right? And then a little bit longer and a little bit longer after that.
So
eliminate the self-hate part of the program. Bring the compassion in and just keep showing up, as you said, because the transformation does happen when you do. And it's not a picnic.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Zoe. Keep close, huh?
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Zoe. I really appreciated that the willingness and the courage to keep showing up, Ashwini.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yes.
How tenacious life is.
Yes. And I think we have Sandy back here. Let's try this.
Hi there. Is this any better?
Yes.
Oh, yes, it is. Much better.
Oh, hallelujah. Okay. So I don't know how much you guys got, but basically I just noticed.
Here's what I got, Sandy. The magic
is not. Oh, yes,
please,
please, tell me.
Yes. So I heard you say that you're in the process of having to make life better, right? And so the duality is, there's a duality for you that operates around it, but the moment doesn't feel magical, and that was related to a comment that Cherry made about being the hero in your own life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Say a little bit more about where you were looking at that piece.
Well, I can't recall if it was she who said it or you actually discussing it after the call, but you were talking about kind of the experience of dreariness, like without magic, life is dreary. And so I just had this sense of kind of like, without realizing it, it's like I have two choices. Identify my optimal fantasy and pursue it, or live in this mediocre life and show up and slog through it and call that being mindful. And so
those sound like really bad choices, Sandy.
Neither of those are ideal. So ego has created this kind of bummer landscape, and so I just realized, like, oh, like, what if, you know, what you guys were talking about of, like, I just wondered, like, is there something kind of a new layer of the onion that could be explored? Because I think maybe I've been interpreting practice as, like, you know, tweaking a dreary life at the margins.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that...
Ashwini?
Michael, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Sandy, you still there?
I'm still here, yes.
Okay, good.
So hang on one second. Let me make sure. Okay, Sandy?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, so if something's been interpreting practice as tweaking the edges of a dreary life, I'm sure there's another way out.
Yes, it sounds like it. And there's kind of the subtlety, though, of like you were just saying from the last caller, like trying to feel happier, which is kind of ego jumping in there to fix ego's problem. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely, right? So the notion is that you fix the circumstances in order to have a particular sensation that is labeled happiness. And what we're doing is flipping that to go, doesn't matter what the circumstances out there are, I'm trying to have the attention on how I am, because that is the state of happiness. There isn't something I can do to be happy. I just have to be happy. So the only thing I can do, within quotes, is to stop having my attention on a process that's intent on fixing and rearranging the chairs on the Titanic in order to make a dreary landscape less dreary.
So it's sort of this turning attention away from.
Yes, it's what you were talking about on the call, right? And I think what you said was, when life is an abstraction, I think I'm paraphrasing here from what I remember you saying, but when it's abstract, right, it feels way bigger than your ability to handle it. And so then what do you do? It drops in, oh, let me look away from the computer screen, or let me go for a little walk here. And so then what's really happening is the attention goes from a mental, conceptual way of dealing with the problem to getting here. And then now here, when you're breathing and you're tasting and you're smelling and you're inhabiting your body and your attention is not on the mental process, what the little thing that drops in is what you do. And there's so much, I mean, if you really pay close attention to that, it's a very full experience. That's really your sense of happiness, right? You're not conflicted. You're not solving major problems. You don't feel confused. You're not overwhelmed. Life is not dreary because you're completely here.
Yes, and I think it needs to be, I think the practice opportunity might be to notice when I'm going into the self-improvement, life improvement conversation, because it poses as like a helpful thing, and then I think it drags me into the pit, and then...
Yes, and then then you're in the dreariness, right? Because no matter what you do within the dreariness, the only option is less dreary or more dreary.
Right. Dreary looking out the window or dreary, yeah, looking at the screen, and it both is dreary.
Is where Sherry basically brought in that piece about looking, you are the heroine of your life, right? Don't ever let Sandy feel. So what is that pointing to? If you are the intelligence that's animating in every expression, right? Sparkling eyes, gorgeous hair, animated body, intelligence sparking, ability to walk, wave your hands around, all of the miracle that's you, uniquely expressed in that life force, then of course you would be the heroine of your own life, because you would consider yourself so extraordinary that you wouldn't be able to stand it. So it's not the personality that Sherry was pointing to as being heroic or as the hero, but if you look at Sandy as an expression of life, an extraordinary expression of life, it's pointing to an orientation. It's the same thing we're talking with Todd. Who is this? Wow, this is an extraordinary version of life, experiencing life, living life in this moment. How could she not be? How could anyone who is a life form not be the hero of their story? Not just the hero, but the superstar of their story.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we like write love letters or what have you, like, I think that's where this has been pointing, but there's this way in which I'm receiving what you're saying. It's like, what? Like, that's huge. Because it's sort of like, yeah.
And that's okay, right, Sandy?
Yeah.
That's all right. It's not your experience yet. It resonates for you, but it's not your experience yet. And this is a place that happens for a lot of people in practice, right? Where when you're identified with what ego is saying you are, when somebody says something like that, it's like, oh, what? What's wrong with me that I don't have the experience you're pointing to?
Right.
Which
or I'm
we
like,
can
are
just
you...
know is, I'm a, I will have that experience. In fact, I've had that experience. I'm just not having it now. And there's nothing wrong with me for not having that experience. It's just simply that my attention will get redirected when I see what I need to see, when I see through what it is that's happening to me right now.
Yeah. I mean, as we're talking about this, I keep thinking about Cinderella. And it's like, telling Cinderella about the ball while I'm like scrubbing the fireplace. So, yeah. Well, that,
and
it's fun.
And the good news,
okay.
Yes, precisely. And it's like the ugly duckling, right? I don't belong to the duck family, but I have to find out I'm a swan.
Yeah.
And so I need the right mirror, right? Until I see another swan and then I see myself in the mirror, all I'm ever told is this is a family I don't belong to. In that context, how do I know that I am the swan? Because nobody's ever told me. I have to discover that. that's the process you're in, that you keep having these mirrors and keep having the being in the process of the mirror being scrubbed till you see yourself. And then you go, of course, I'm the heroine of my own story.
Okay.
And all of us who say that to you are able to see you in that light. Maybe we don't see ourselves in that light, but we're all working on it, right?
Right, right, yeah. I will know I've achieved some level of wisdom when I see myself the way I see my cats. So, yes.
And I'm going to say one of those extraordinary things where you're going to go, come off it, Ashwini, or whatever it is, right? Like, Zoe, the words don't mean anything. But I would say that in your cat, you've really seen yourself.
Yes, yes. I've been hanging around long enough to think that is not a crazy thing to say. So, yes, I'm with you.
Yes.
Okay.
Right? Now you just have to see yourself in a form that you label as Sandy, right? You've seen Sandy the cat as an extraordinary thing.
Yes, yes. And yeah, to the extent that this conversation is sort of like asking me to believe the sky is purple or something, there's kind of just a like hang in there and see what happens and see how.
Yes, because because the sky is purple, but ego will never admit that, right? Because in its world, the sky has to be blue. You're asking, we're looking in the wrong mirror. That's all it is.
Okay. Good. Okay. More to come. I'm looking forward
more
to
come.
To come. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. And I just got a new window into my cat, Ashwini. So thanks for that. And shall we take a break here, Ashwini, or would you like to skip that and head for another caller or two?
Let's keep going, Michael. I know
okay.
We're close to the end of the show, so.
Okay, great. Let me find another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Ashwini, this is Ann Michael. This is Justin in Bear Valley.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, Justin.
Hey, I'm loving the conversation. I feel really fortunate because I think I was on like 2 weeks ago or something. Doesn't feel like that long ago.
Uh-huh. Well, we are fortunate, aren't we? Regardless
we
of whether we're on the queue for the radio show or not.
Yeah, yeah. And that really hits on the theme that I've been seeing today, and maybe in these past couple of hours, and just like a really big practice success. And just to give like a little content, like there was like a pretty intense work conversation that took place between me and another person. And like I felt like coming away from that, like a realization I had was like, when I project that someone's in an identification with ego, like it really has
mm-hmm.
nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm. What a relief, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge
what
relief.
What a relief.
It's a huge relief.
Yeah.
I mean, relief is just the word for it, you know?
Yeah. I don't have to take, I mean, and we use these words that, after a while, you know, the import of them happens only when you have an experience like you just had, right? Wow, I wasn't taking that personally. They were having whatever experience they were having that had nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And the experience of having that experience is, I mean, it's still, it's kind of indescribable, but it's the only way to see it, you know, and feel it. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I just felt like a lot of gratitude because I felt myself running through all the kind of practice tools. Like, you know, when the conversation was getting kind of heated, I started, well, you like this one. I heard you talk about it, but like reflecting in my head. So, okay, I'm reflecting
yes.
in my head. You know, or doing my best, right? You know, trying to stay out of that
yes.
conversation. And if I don't
yeah.
really have anything skillful to say, then I can just kind of reflect what they said. So just kind
right.
of navigating through that way. And then at the end, like, there's all this energy, right? Just like so much energy, but not even necessarily in like a bad way. But in a way that just feels like it's going to, like, I don't know, something explode or something, and it's like, oh, I know exactly what to do. Like, I'll just go, like, record about it. So just blah, blah, yeah. blah, 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 blah. And it's all in, like, a skillful way that I'm not subjecting that to someone else or doing it in a way that's going to, you know, make the situation worse, right? It's just recorder, recorder, yeah. recorder.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That just makes, I mean, there's so much to say about that, and nothing needs to be said about it, right, Justin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
because,
right.
yeah, because it, you, as you said, the phrase that encapsulates it is practice success, right? So here you've done all this practice, and you're bringing, you are who you say you want to be in that situation, which is present and kind and not identified with ego, right? And using every tool, and the tools are coming to you as you're in the conversation, because what you're choosing is, I don't want to get identified. I don't want to get into a slanging match with this person and make it all personal. That would have been an option. And it's available to me to reflect, to draw, to clarify, and then and leave that. And I project all of that energy is because it didn't get dissipated in ego identification, right? All that energy of life is now with you, and you record about it, and it stays with you.
Yeah, yeah, that's so interesting. I hadn't made that connection, but it wasn't, yeah, it was like, yeah, a lot of energy at the end. And, like, heading into the conversation, I knew it was a topic that we wanted to bring up, and, you know, it was maybe going to be a little intense, but, like, seeing the opening, like, it kind of what I was talking about earlier, but, like, it doesn't really have anything to do with I or me, in the sense, like, it is all about my experience, but, like, because that's the only experience I have, but, like, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, you know, whatever practice has been done is going to be done, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, right? Like,
yes.
So let's
yes.
just see what happens here. And
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if this is what you're saying, Justin, but this is certainly what I'm hearing, is that it becomes it's all about process, right? That you're not going into that interaction going, okay, well, here's a work piece of content that I need to present, and my point of view needs to pervade, you know, I don't even know what word I'm using, but anyway, whatever it is, I need to be successful in this interaction, regardless of what the energy is. Your attitude is, you know what? I'm going to go in and try, and what I want to be is who I choose to be, which is not a suffering human being in that interaction. Hopefully, not cause anyone else to suffer if I can help it, right? And here's the information that I am going to give, and because that's my attitude, I enter and leave the entire interaction without it being about me, in the sense that ego is not what got fed in the process.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And just to recap what you said, and I see this for myself in that experience, is it's not about the content. I mean, who cares how this whole work thing ends up? It's like so minor, which is where we get, I think, so identified and so much, or at least I, you know, people, and so much of the attention goes, let's see my process. I'm going to do my best, but it's not even really up to me, and let's see what happens. And
yes, yes. Oh, that's just, it's so liberating. It doesn't mean that we don't have intense discussions and, you know, we don't participate fully in, okay, this is the information that I want to provide, but there's no attachment and there's no suffering, right? There's just energy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. Well, yeah. Well, thank you guys. Thank you guys for all you do. And it's so good to see it all come to fruition.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Justin. You can write a testimonial for the communication book.
Thanks for joining us, Justin and Ashwini. I think we have time for one more caller here.
Oh, excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Was it hello?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, hi, it's Karen.
Hey, Karen.
From Northern California. Hi. Well, just been wanting to participate and loved the, you know, the kickoff that we just had. And I think maybe I could talk about that real quick as the hour is wrapping up. And a really fun thing that I saw was you know, in the workshop is how all the roles, because I've lost, a lot of the roles that I had in life, practically all of them have gone away. And so it's been a really interesting year with the pandemic and everything. And then what I got to see in the workshop is all those roles were really just vehicles for how I want to be. You know, all those things we were talking, how I want to be. And it was so uplifting, because sometimes I feel sad about some of the roles that went away, or those were really fun roles. And so Karen, if I may
see if I'm tracking what you're saying, if I'm following, is what you realized is all of those roles. So let's just say you want to be kind, right? All of those roles was just a way for you to be kind. And so if the role goes away, your ability to be kind doesn't go away, right?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I don't know, something just sort of broke free on that kickoff for me to see that. And, I don't need to go into content or anything, but it was very liberating for me, because it's not the roles. It truly is not what we do. It's how we do it. It's not the roles. It's not what I do. It's how I do it. It's just very, very liberating
energizing. Yeah, it gave you something.
Yeah, that's exactly the word I was going to say.
Well, so what you're saying is that process, right, that what the conditioned orientation is, you are your role. But what you've got to see is, no, I'm not my role. My role is how I get to experience who I am. So just because the role left doesn't stop me from experiencing who I am. And so I now I don't have to focus on what I've lost. I've just gotten back everything I was told I had lost. I never lost it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't really seen that, but yes, that's exactly right. And it's just, I don't know, it just was a really fun place to be led to on that kickoff. And I'm really excited I'm just really excited for the whole year-long retreat and the theme, because for me, This is the path of happiness, you know, of how I want to be in the world. That's happiness for me, if I can be how I want to be in the world, you know.
Every sage and every mystic has said, right? Happiness is being who you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's so accurate. How I am, which is not identified with ego, but identified with the intelligence that animates as what I am, is how I experience the bliss, right?
Yeah.
The bliss that everybody talks about. All the mystics talk about at any rate. Yeah. The path of happiness.
Yes. That's what you know, what was being talked about on the, so I'm just very, very grateful and really happy to have gotten to pop on at the end here and just excited about the new year.
Well, thank you, Karen. I think that's a wonderful way to go out at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
And anticipating a year of being happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can appropriately say go happy.
Yes. Yes, we can. Yeah. And thank you. Thank you both so much. Thank you, Michael. And thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks.
Go
Karen.
Okay.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And yes, Ashwini, that does bring us to the top of the hour. And it's great to be here and to be practicing going happy.
Couldn't say it better myself, Michael. Thank you again, and we'll talk next week.
Okay. Thanks, Ashwini. Go happy.
Bye-bye.